Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 209 for July 18th, 2009. This week I'm on the road in southeastern Michigan and found a way to work Whiskey Cast into a family reunion weekend.
You know, if this room could speak, if the walls could talk, Hiram Walker dined with kings and queens from around the world here, and even Hollywood, Charlton Heston here, you know, back in 1980, and so on and so forth. So this room speaks volumes to the classiness of the man and the brand Canadian Club.
That's Tish Harkus of Canadian Club, which has been distilled at the Hiram Walker & Sons Distillery in Waterville, Ontario since 1858, and is the home of the Canadian Club Heritage Center. It's the original headquarters building built by Hiram Walker more than 110 years ago. It's patterned after a 16th century Italian palace and now serves as a museum and visitor center. More with Tish in a few minutes, but first, let's look at the news. I need to start off with a major correction. In the last episode, we heard from Glenfiddich collector Hans-Henrik Hansen, and geography failed me in a major way. I said Hans-Henrik was Dutch, and he's actually from Denmark rather than the Netherlands, and that makes him Danish. My apologies. Now, he hinted at something in the last episode that we'll find out more about this week. William Grant & Sons will unveil a 50-year-old Glenfiddich release this coming week. The Scotsman reports the new release will be priced at more than £5,000 a bottle, or around $8,000 at current exchange rates. We'll also get more details this coming week on Suntory's plans to start selling its Hibiki blended whiskey in the U.S. Suntory has confirmed the 12-year-old Hibiki expression will be available starting in October, but plans a more formal announcement this week. Highland Park is hinting at a new release or two coming over the next few weeks. I don't have enough details confirmed to give you the complete story yet, but I'll keep you updated as I find out more. GlenDronach is releasing two single-cask bottlings for the first time since Billy Walker and his ownership group took over the distillery last year. Richard Parker at Parker's Whiskey in Banff is the exclusive retailer for the two casks, which were produced in 1992 and 1994, and aged in Oloroso sherry casks. The two casks produced about 1,200 bottles. Three new cask strength releases from James MacArthur & Company are on the market now, a 13-year-old Milton Duff and 12-year-olds distilled at Delmore and Glendolen distilleries. A. Dewar Rattray has seven new single cask bottlings available. The list includes a Glenmore from 1982, Laphroaig, Tullibardine, and Beaumont casks from 1990, a 1995 Kalila, and a 1996 Aberlour, and finally, a single cask Irish whiskey distilled at Cooley in 1999. Time now for the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. The Lord Mayor's Appeal Magic of the Malt charity tasting is set for July 29th in London. Templeton Rye hosts its annual Summer Rock and Rye Music Festival on August 8th in Templeton, Iowa. Royal Mile Whiskies in Edinburgh hosts Whiskey Fringe August 15th and 16th. Whiskey Live Sydney is August 31st through September 6th. And whiskey clubs from around Europe will be gathering in Nijmegen, the Netherlands, on the weekend of September 4th through the 6th for Maltstock. You'll find a complete calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig Quarter Cask.
Hi there, my name's John Campbell, Distillery Manager at Laphroaig Distillery. Become a friend of Laphroaig, claim your own square foot of Islay at laphroaig.com.
Early in my career, I spent about a year doing radio news and traffic reports in Detroit and lived near the riverfront. Windsor, Ontario was just across the river, and back then, every time I drove along Jefferson Avenue at night, the giant Canadian Club sign on the side of the Hiram Walker & Sons Distillery was a familiar landmark. That was long before I became interested in whiskey, so my trips to Windsor never included a stop at the distillery. Today, the giant sign is gone. The breakup of Allied Domecq in 2005 left Pernod Ricard with the Hiram Walker Distillery and Beam Global with the distillery's most famous brand, Canadian Club. It's still distilled at Walker's under a contract between the two companies, but Beam has control of the most historic building on the property, the headquarters Hiram Walker built for his growing business in 1892. Today it's the Heritage Center for Canadian Club. Tish Harkis helped create the museum 8 years ago, and we sat down to talk over a couple of drams of the sherry cask version of Canadian Club.
The master blender was given the task to, in the early 1990s, to come up with something to go up against, to compete against the single malt scotches. So what he did was he took 8-year-old Canadian Club whiskey. So he took the CC Premium, which is the 6-year-old whiskey. He left a batch of it in the barrel for 2 more years. Okay, our sister company is Harvey's Bristol Cream. They shipped us 27 barrels, once-used barrels, okay, of so that, in other words, Harvey's had been aged in these barrels. We got 27 barrels. We put 8-year whiskey in there for about a year, 10 months to a year. And what happened was the whiskey absorbed all the sherry out of the wood. And so over the course of a year, what you end up with this product here, there you go, Mark. You end up with this product that's got a little bit of a red tinge to it. Well, that's the sherry. And the nose on it, if we give it a little nose here, you're going to smell a sweetness to it. There's a sweetness to it. And that's the sherry coming out.
You get a bit of dried fruit in that.
Mediterranean fruits, exactly. Figs, you know, like dried raisins and things.
I get a little dried apricot.
Yes. That's all those fruits coming out, and that's because of the sherry that's in the wood. Now, you know, we'd like to say that, like, we're sampling today. You and I are sampling from batch 19. Personal experience, batch 2 was absolutely phenomenal. And batch 18 was phenomenal as well. At the distillery here, we're working on batch 23. Now, the reason that, you know, you're probably wondering why, you know, if it's been around since 1992, 93, how come you're still only working on batch 23 and here we are in the year 2009? We can only produce as much as the barrels that they send us. So they only send us 27 barrels per year. So if they were to send us, you know, 2,700 barrels, we could produce a lot more of this stuff, but we can't. So they only ship us 27 barrels at a time. That's why this is done in batches.
Now, where is this available?
It's not available in Ontario. It's available, if you're talking across Canada, it's available in British Columbia. It's available in Alberta. Across the U.S., it's more or less all over the in just about every state out there. So you really have to know your store manager, your liquor store manager, and go there and ask. Sometimes it's a special order. But if the store manager, you know, if you have a good, tight relationship with him or her, then, yeah, you can they can special order this stuff in.
Now, let's try the tasting here.
Cheers.
Wow. I get the dried fruits on there. It's almost bourbon-like in a lot of ways.
Well, a lot of people, we do this, again, we do these tastings all across the U.S. and Canada, all over the world, as a matter of fact, and a lot of people will say, it kind of reminds me of a port. It's got a little bit of a port because that's the sweetness.
Yeah.
A lot of people say it's got that cognac finish, and that's because, again, we're drinking it straight up just on a couple of rocks, right? Clean ice. So it's got a little bit of, and then I can see the bourbon, I think that because it's got the wood.
Right.
There's so much wood presence in there. So
and some vanilla, too.
And vanilla, yeah. And, of course, you know, going along with the CC portfolio line, the smoothness. These brands are all so smooth because of the pre-barrel blending. And that goes to, that's a proprietary process that only Canadian Club does. Going back 151 years ago, old Uncle Hiram Walker, developed this. And, you know, all the CC brands are made up of 4 different grains. And these grains, he produced distillate from them, and then he married them together and put them in the barrel for aging. So, you know, the other guys out there are producing distillate and aging everything separately and then blending them after aging. Well, he felt that this was a much smoother product after the aging when you pre-barrel blended the distillates together. So he slapped a patent on that thing right away because he knew that this was going to be a really key factor of these brands of the portfolio Canadian Club. So, you know, all the you get the sweetness from the sherry, the wood, and whatnot, but you still get that smooth palate out of this because of the fact that it's pre-barrel blended, so... Are you enjoying that?
It's wonderful. It's got a nice finish to it, nice long lingering finish. The dried fruits come out again in that finish. And, I mean, it's been about a minute or two since I took the sip, but the finish is still strong.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah.
Now, tell me about this room that we're in, because this is part of the original Walker
it is.
Distillery. And It's really unlike anything you see at any other distillery in many ways.
Exactly. You wouldn't, as we're sitting here sipping this fine Canadian Club Sherry cask, we're in a room here. The building is styled after 16th century Italian Renaissance. This building, Hiram Walker copied it from a palace from Florence, Italy. But when it was developed, it took 2 years to make. Construction began 1892, finished 1894. And what he wanted to do, this room that we're sitting in here is known as the executive dining room. And the building itself was, the Walker family never lived here. This is always an office building. But he had so much respect for his workers and his, managers and senior management and so on and so forth that he wanted this really, really pristine place for them to come and dine, just to have lunch every day. So he created this executive dining room. So here we are, it's oak paneled, you know, the ceiling, the designer was Albert Kahn, and he loved this ceiling so much when he produced it in 1894 that he replicated it in his own home. So everything is one of a kind. I mean, these walls of this building, they're 2.5 feet thick, and the ceiling is another 1.5 feet thick. This was designed to never, ever fail. So what we did here 5 years ago, back in the days, back in the early 1900s, if you were a family lucky enough to live in a high social life and you had a lot of monies, carpet was the thing. And the oak flooring was just a way to just kind of put the base down. Well, when I realized that this oak floor had a design in it, we canceled the carpet order and went right back down to the beautiful oak finished floors. This is all European oak that you're looking at in here as far as these floors go. So, you know, if this room could speak, if the walls could talk, Hiram Walker dined with kings and queens from around the world here and even Hollywood, we have Charlton Heston here, you know, back in 1980 and so on and so forth. So this room speaks volumes to the classiness of the man and the brand Canadian Club.
And the location is literally right along the Detroit River with the northern Detroit suburbs along the other side. And just a great view from out the second floor windows here, right?
Yes, yeah, we're on second floor. We're looking out. We have huge, you know, three big, huge picture windows here. And that was we're the only site like this in the city of Windsor that has these beautiful waterfront gardens. And then we look out to the U.S. border, which is only a mile across the Detroit River. And when Hiram Walker purchased the property in 1956, this is actually beachfront area. The water right at the dock there was about 3 feet deep, and at its deepest point, the river was about 15 feet deep. And they had to dredge the river back in the early 1940s to allow these big, huge steam ship liners to come through, but we're still looking at beautiful, clean water. We haven't seen fish in this water. We had the comeback of fish since 1940. The water is so clean now. So we really have some pristine, pristine property here, and again, incredibly proud of it.
And as Dan has told me in the past, there may still be some cases of CC left from Prohibition and the whiskey runners at the bottom of that river.
You got it. As many as, there was two major sales spikes in the 151-year history of Canadian Club. That was when the brand was originally known as Club Whiskey and then took on the name Canadian Club in the early 1880s. Well, when Prohibition hit in 1920, we didn't have the law here in Canada of Prohibition. So 1920 hits, if you're a U.S. citizen, illegal for you to manufacture, sell, or consume spirit alcohol. Here we are a mile across from the Detroit banks of the city of Detroit. The law didn't exist here. As many as 20,000 cases of Canadian Club went across these waters during Prohibition. So the Canadian Club was, as it is today, it's available in 151 countries around the world, but Canadian Club really, really, really extended its reach during Prohibition across the U.S.
And the reason some of the cases are at the bottom of the river is because they were dumped overboard to escape the agents.
That's right. Some of the guys and gals that had these boats, again, the Walker family had developed two export docks here, and everything was legal. They would load these boats up with 50, 75 cases. The second that the boat took off, left the docks here of Hiram Walker, the deal was sealed. The problem was there's an invisible U.S. Border right in between, in the middle of the Detroit River here. here. Those folks had to get across that border without getting caught. So some of them got caught, and of course, you know, they had to dump their cargo. So there it is in the middle of the Detroit River. We've actually pulled up a lot of the old bottles from the Prohibition era, gate bottles we call them, and shipping cases from 1928 and things like that. So we've got a lot of that stuff in our archives, but I'm sure there's plenty more down there.
I know during the tour I took earlier today, we were told that some Windsor police divers actually pulled up a few intact bottles a few years ago.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. I've been with the company 21 years. The first day of my employment here, I had a meeting with one of the executives of the building here, and I looked out, and lo and behold, there's all these police divers right along the waterfront here, and I thought, oh, my God, are they looking for a body? Well, they weren't. They were looking for bottles of CC and historical artifacts, and they actually pulled up an old millstone where they used to grind the grains with, you know, they used to mill the grains with. So there's a lot of stuff still out there, I'm sure, but we have pulled up most of it. We've pulled up a lot of bottles, a lot of, there's probably a car or two out there still that we didn't get to, but we've got some great old stuff that we've pulled out of the Detroit River.
Tell me what else people can see on this tour when they come to the Heritage Center, because it's separate from the distillery now, but tell me what people can see here.
Well, we've got on the tour, again, you know, Prohibition, the law didn't exist in Canada here, but the likes of Al Capone from Chicago. Chicago's a five-hour drive from our distillery here, so we would see him six or seven times a year. The Purple Gang, they resided out of downtown Detroit, so those boys frequented the distillery here quite a bit. What they ended up doing was these guys didn't want to conduct business in an open spot, so an open space or an office or whatnot. They wanted to go somewhere where it was like dark and kind of where they could speak lightly or speak easy. Actually, that's where the term comes from, speak easy. So they went down into the basement and they converted Hiram Walker's private wine cellar into a speakeasy. So what the boys did, they needed to build you know, this place where they could sit around and discuss business. So they actually built a table made out of oak inside the speakeasy, which is, you know, it's oval at one end, and that table still exists today. So those people that want to come and see us here at the Canadian Club Brand Center can actually sit at the table that Al Capone and the Purple Gang conducted business at. So that table is so big that we can't take it out of the room, not that we'd ever want to, but that table still exists today. So it was built in the early 1920s, and here we are, 2009, and the table still exists today.
And you have Hiram Walker's original office as well as those of his sons.
Yes.
And an impressive art collection, too.
Yes, yes, we do. We do. There was a number of artifacts that Hiram Walker had put in his will that they always remained inside the building here. So, you know, it didn't matter if how many different ownerships the building had, but these pieces remain in the building. These are the chairs. These are the office chairs that Hiram Walker used. A couple of his artifacts, a ship's cannon dates back to 1650, a beautiful table from a monastery in France dates back to 1780. These are pieces that Hiram Walker actually purchased at the Chicago's World Fair in September 1894. So, you know, grandfather clock that he had made in downtown Detroit. So an art collection, a beautiful art collection. It's worth Canadian artwork is very, very hot right now. So we're anywhere near, you know, $1.5 to $2 million worth of art here. So we have all of these pieces in the building in a beautiful, beautiful the room itself was originally Hiram Walker's boardroom. We turned it into an art gallery. This room is made from one tree. It's called Circassian walnut, and it originates from China. In the 1600s, the Spanish missionaries brought some of these trees to California, and they planted them. And these trees grow like the trees in the rainforest. They're 5 feet in diameter by, you know, 100 feet tall. So Hiram Walker, in 1892, when they began construction of the building, he and his sons went out to California, picked up one of these trees, and they shipped it back here, and they produced this entire room from it. So that is known as the art gallery today.
And what makes that really unusual with that one tree is that all the grain matches up and forms a design in the room.
Yes, that's right. Every single one of the panels around the room is from the same grain. Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, you know, when you look at the doors that are, you know, 2.5 inches thick, these doors that welcome you into this beautiful room, and the fact that they were hung in 1892 and they still swing better than any door in my house today. You know, my house was built 20 years ago, and, you know, these doors are just, the building is just incredible. It was total craftsmanship, and you're not going to see that today. And then we have the barrel vault ceiling as well in the art gallery. So that's something that each one of those intricate pieces on that ceiling was hand-carved. It wasn't, you know, today if we wanted a ceiling that looked like that, we would put together a piece of plaster and then we would plaster it on the ceiling. Well, every one of those, you know, rosettes and every one of those pergolas and oak leaves and whatnot, that was all done by hand. So,
This is a building, really, that not just a whiskey lover or whiskey connoisseur or historian would like, but an architecture fan would really get an interest out of this building, too.
Oh, well, by far, yes, yeah. And again, Albert Kahn was the design. He was specifically hired by the Walker family because he was one of the best in North America at the time, and he was commissioned to do this building, to work on this building. So he was also commissioned to a number of historical buildings in downtown Detroit and across the U.S. and a couple of other buildings here in Windsor, but he was very, very well regarded as one of the best at the time in the 1800s.
Yeah. And we should explain by way of transparency that it is now not possible to take tours of the distillery itself anymore, right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, no, it's not. Well, I shouldn't say that. I really don't know. We're two separate owners here on the site. So as far as Canadian Club goes, you know, we're open year-round here, and we welcome visitors from around the world. And I can't speak on their behalf because I really don't know how they're managing tours over there or if they're even doing tours.
I know that, and we should explain that the Hiram Walker Distillery is now actually owned by Pernod Ricard, and Beam Global owns Canadian Club as part of the Allied Demex split up.
That's right, yeah. Beam Global actually owns this building, and myself and my staff here and Dan, we all work for Beam Global, yep, around the world. So Canadian Club owns this building, and we just so happen to be located on the same site.
But it's still the perpetual home of Canadian Club for 151 years.
You got it. You got it. We're here loud and proud. Been here. Last year we celebrated 150 years, and we produced a beautiful whiskey, a 30-year whiskey, to commemorate that. And I know you've sampled some of it,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And, so here we are 151 years later. Every drop of Canadian Club sold around the world is still manufactured, aged, and the Canadian portion of it's still bottled here. So every drop you consume around the world, it's been manufactured and aged right here in Walkerville, Ontario.
The center is open for tours year-round, Wednesdays through Sundays, and it's just a few minutes up Riverside Drive from the border crossing at the Detroit-Windsor Tunnel. You can find out more details about the Heritage Center at the Canadian Club website, and there's a link at the WhiskeyCast website. That's also where you'll find links to my Twitter feed and the WhiskeyCast Facebook page. Round 2 of the Tasting Notes competition continues through this week at the Facebook page. You'll also find the calendar of events, my whiskey ratings, the WhiskeyCast store, and a complete archive of past episodes at the WhiskeyCast website. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. And my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. I'd love to hear from you. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2009, and this time around comes to you from the hills of southeastern Michigan. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.